My brother told me there that I was to get wired up. I said I've been wired up for a long time, in more ways than one. But it's a joy to be in your church this morning, to have this opportunity to minister in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just by way of plugging something, can I mention when the Loch Earn Convention was set before you, that at the very end of September, the Scottish Commission of the Free Presbyterian Church are holding their third annual conference in the city of Dundee from Friday the 24th right through to Sunday or Monday, depending on your preference. And if you're looking at any of the details, then either see me or contact the Reverend David Linden. I know that hopefully the leaflets, when they arrived here, they were announced some time ago. It's in the Hilton Hotel. The ministers in Scotland take part, and it's a wonderful weekend of fellowship and of communion, and indeed a weekend with the people of God. And I would certainly extend to you a warm invitation. Maybe like myself, you have a day or two still to take. Well, then we invite you to come over to the Scottish Convention. It will set before you our churches in Scotland, the need of Scotland, and as I said, even the blessing of God will be upon you that weekend. It's a tremendous weekend. Good preaching, good fellowship, and indeed good food. We're going to open our Bible this morning. I almost dropped when our brother said we're opening in Isaiah, because I want you to turn now to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. I met some of your folk last night up in Port Stewart, and one of them said to me, "What are you doing here? You should be back studying." I said, "But you're Mully and Macrofelta, the people aren't used to good preaching there. It won't make any difference." So it won't. And then I put in, of course, "I've done all the studying." And then one of them said to me afterwards, when they saw my wife holding my hand, "Ah, look at that lovely couple." I said, "You're jealous your wife wouldn't hold your hand." Isaiah chapter 50, please. We're reading from verse 1. "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Whom have I put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their face stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Amen. We know that God will add the blessing, His blessing, upon the reading of His word. Let's seek the Lord for a moment in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee and praise Thee today for the privilege of gathering into the house of God. We are mindful of those tremendous words. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And truly here on the hill, we're in the house of God. We're in the place of Bethel. We're in the place where prayer is wont to be made, where Thy praise is offered, and where we come to learn and to be taught of God Himself. We thank Thee already for those hymns that we pray and that we sang together. We thank Thee for prayer that has ascended to heaven. Now as we come to the infallible, the inerrant, the eternal Word of God, we pray that Thou would open the book unto us and open our hearts unto the book of God. We thank Thee for Thy people here. We praise Thee for the goodness and the mercy of the Lord over all of the years since the inception of this work. Do be with Thy servant and his wife and family. Do be with the office bearers. Do be with this congregation. Continue to pour upon them Thy blessing for good, that more and more Thy name will be uplifted, Thyself will be glorified, dear precious souls will be drawn into the kingdom of Jehovah Himself. But now we look afresh to Thee. We need Thy help. We need that spirit of utterance and that spirit of power that truly, as we minister in the Word of God, it would not be in the weakness of man, but rather in the power and in the demonstration of God, the Holy Spirit. To this end, we are trusting Thee for power, trusting only Thee. Words which Thou Thyself will give to us, they and they alone will prevail. Give them to us this morning, we pray. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Sometimes, beloved, even the best of the people of God have very dark and very trying experiences. Sometimes it seems to be a notion among the people of the Lord that the moment you get saved, everything will be rosy. Everyone will be happy. Every individual will be saying, what a wonderful and a tremendous person you are, that the world, the flesh and the devil will do everything to help you, to encourage you, to enable you to go on with Christ. You and I know that that's not the case. That as sure as you are saved, so also shall be attacks of the world and the flesh and the devil. So also, Satan will set everything and anything he can in your way to hinder you, to stifle you from going on. Many of God's people have went through the darkest of all situations. When they've traveled that pathway, when they went through that tunnel, it's not unusual for a question to be asked. That question is almost universal. It is why? Why, Pastor? Why, Minister? Why have I had to suffer the loss that I have experienced? Why have I had this bad health? Look at me. I was far better years ago, but now I can hardly move. I can hardly lift up my hand. I can hardly move my feet. Tell me, Minister. Tell me, Pastor. Why has God permitted this to happen to me? You know, beloved, in some sense, that's the wrong question. Because I believe that the answers to the whys are given by God Himself. And that on occasions we will not know the reason why we went through the dark valley, the dark passage, the dark trial, until we reach heaven. The hymn writer has penned it well in some way. Whenever he said, we'll know it better by and by. But the question that really ought to be asked in the darkness, in the time of trial, in the time of difficulty, is how? How do I still live for God? How can I still go on and be the Christian, the believer, the child of God that the Lord would have me to be? It's easy to sing praise the Lord when the sun's shining. It's easy to sing hallelujah and to shout out God forever and say to everyone, I believe in God. Whenever you're getting that clap on the back. That is to say up the shankle when you're getting the dig in the face, it's hard to say praise God. It's hard to say, Lord, thank you, when you went out in your new hat, madam, and your new suit, man, and all of a sudden the heavens open and you're soaked. And those feathers are soaking and they're all twiggled in and you're saying, I'll never be able to wear that again. Can you praise the Lord in the darkness? Can you lift your heart unto God in such times of trial and say, Lord, no matter what has happened, I praise Thee, I love Thee, You're my God. The psalmist says in Psalm 46 that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. It is a time that we're proved to be the child of God. It is the time when you and I will be brought forth even more radiant and shining for Jesus. In the words of our text here in verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 50, you can realize that that's exactly what Isaiah is setting before us. He says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon His God. Beloved, I want you to notice three things that certainly should enable us and help us to go on with God in the darkest hour, in the most severest of trials. Instead of putting your hand to the plow and turning back, it's by pressing on, even with God, that we glorify Him most. Notice three simple things. First of all, darkness comes to every believer. If you look contextually in verse 10, you can see clearly that he's addressing a child of God. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, and that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness? Isaiah here, undeniably, is drawing our attention that the believer, that the child of God, he will have a difficulty, he will have trials and desperate times, even in his pilgrimage. Remember the words of Jesus Himself unto the disciples before He left? Did the Master say, you're going to have a wonderful time? That when I go to heaven, everything is going to be joyful? That everyone's going to back you and support you? That you go out preaching the gospel and building the church that I want you to build? That everyone is going to say amen and be with you? No, Jesus said, in this life ye shall have trouble? No. Difficulties? No. Times of hardship? No. What Jesus said was, in this life ye shall have tribulation. The word tribulation is far more severe than a wee bit of trouble. It's far harder upon the believer than a time of desperation. No, it's a catastrophe of all catastrophes. It's being put through the mill. It's experiencing the greatest of all difficulties. Right through the Old and New Testament, there are many who are highlighted to us that went through great difficulties. First of all, of course, we think of the man called Job. That man who was a blessed man, who knew what it was to walk with God, who indeed was the best servant of the Lord upon the earth at the time. And in Job chapter 19, in verse 8, what does it say? He has fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my path. Here is Job. He's expressing what he feels God has done. He has put fences before him. He has set darkness even upon his path. Look at the words of Habakkuk. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 1, We read these words in verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He says in verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou will not see it. Here is an individual who's going through the mill. Here is a child of God who has upon him great difficulty. Why? Because he's walking in the darkness. Think of John the Baptist. Did he not know those times of imprisonment? Even there, while he was in prison, the one who was sent to proclaim the coming of the Lord, the one who was the messenger, the foreteller that the Son of God had come into the earth. What did he say when he was in his trials? He sent a message to Jesus and he says, Art thou the Christ? Or should we look for another? The Apostle Paul himself knew what it was to have great difficulties. If you look at 2 Corinthians, the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4, what is Paul telling us there about his difficulties and his trials as he was serving God? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Here are the servants of God, and they're knowing the dark times. Think of the Puritans. Think of the Covenanters. Think of the Church of Jesus Christ in every age and in every generation. And beloved, they have experienced, they have known the darkness. Have faith in God. The sun will shine. Though dark the clouds may be today, His heart has planned your paths and mine. Have faith in God. Have faith always. It is not unusual, beloved. Think it not strange that you, as a child of God, are experiencing, even walking in the darkness. The second thing I want you to think of, it's not only that darkness comes to every believer, the darkness can bring out the best in every believer. Look again at what it says there in verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Whenever you think of the darkness, beloved, here as a reality that the darkness can bring out the best in you as a Christian. Can you think of those times when illness has come? Whenever death has entered into your family, it's come to that dear husband, to that dear wife, to that dear mother, even to that dear father or dear child. And you've been sitting there, and the minister, the elders, the members of the congregations, your friends, your relations, they've all come to bring comfort. It's almost as if you're immune to it. It's almost as if their words are running off your back like water off a dock. It doesn't seem to penetrate. And then just there in the darkness of that chasm of bereavement, God spoke a word. And it seemed as if the Lord Himself drew near unto you and He lifted you up and He carried you through it. And after that darkness, you've said, what a fellowship, what a joy divine leaning on the everlasting arch. You've thought of that time when even there has been illness upon your body. When pain was so severe, you said to the minister, I can't even pray. I can't even read my Bible. And then God stepped in. And out of the darkness there came a great fellowship. Out of the catastrophe that happened to you, you realized that you were brought into the sweetest relationship and into the sweetest place of fellowship with the God of heaven that you ever knew. It was after the darkness when the morning came And you knew that tremendous walk and fellowship with God. Isn't that beautiful picture? That you will be showing someone about your holiday. You know that one that looks so lovely, the scenery behind you? Maybe the garb that you were wearing or some activity that you're involved in. And you look and you say, boy, that's a beautiful picture. Beloved, it was developed in the darkness. Well, that film was taken into the dark room. And there in the dark room, that film along with the alloys or the developing materials, it brought out the best in the picture. So in the life of many of God's people, I think of three individuals known as John. There was a man who was blind from birth by the name of John Milton. And there in the darkness of his blindness, he wrote probably one of the best books that natural man has written. And it was called Paradise Lost. There in the darkness, he was led to see paradise itself. Think of John Bunyan. Whenever John Bunyan was cast into that prison over there in Bedford Jail, it was while he was in prison, he wrote that master article, Pilgrim's Progress. There in the dark, damp dungeon, he learned a great fellowship and a great fellowship with God Himself. Out of the darkness, the best came out. John, when he was exiled in the Isle of Patmos, was it not he that was given the light into Revelation? Was it not he that seen right into heaven itself? And that master book at the end of the Bible is still not only prevalent for today, it's into tomorrow. There, in the darkness of exile, he learned of the goodness and of the blessing of God, and the best came out. Warren Worsby, in one of his notes, he says that we are not to... He said, we live not by promises. Sorry, we live by promises, not by explanations. Thomas Watson, that great man of old, he said, where reason cannot wade, faith can swim. Why? Because in the darkness, the best is brought out in us. Do you know that in the darkness of the shell, the pearl is prepared for the dawn? And that shell lying at the bottom of the ocean, what formulates that pearl? What buffs and brings out the sparkling of that pearl when the shell is open? Beloved, it's a little bit of grit of the sand that goes into the shell. And as that shell is cast about and that grip is wearing away on the pearl before the shell is open, it is buffing in the pearl to a beautiful item when the shell is there. When? In the darkness. In the darkness itself, the best can come out of your Christian life after the darkness. But Isaiah gives us two reasons or two instruments or two encouragements here of how we can be at our best in times of trouble for God. I want you to notice what those reasons are. First of all, we are to look to the Lord. In verse 10, he very simply says there, let him trust in the name of the Lord. See, beloved, sometimes in the darkness, sometimes in our trials, that's when we're in danger of walking back. Going the opposite direction. Instead of continuing in fellowship, in communion, and in the things of God, when things go wrong, it's so easy for the devil to tempt us to backslide. Many a Christian has walked away from the church, from the place of prayer, from the place of Bible study, from the place of fellowship after a period of darkness. Whenever something has happened, something that was harmful, hurtful, Yea, even to the point that they've questioned, where is God today? Remember the words of the psalmist in Psalm number 73? Whenever you read all of that psalm, the first opening chapter, verses of the first half, you have the psalmist complaining. And he's telling us about why is the ungodly prospering? Why are they not worried or concerned? Why are they not afraid of God? And he goes on and he goes on. And then he says an amazing statement. He says, have I cleansed my heart in vain? See, he was coming to the point. He was questioning his relationship with God. Why is it I've suffered when the ungodly, they don't seem to suffer? Why am I having such a hard time? They don't seem to suffer. And then he said, I was taken into the temple. And when God took the psalmist into the temple, he revealed unto him the end of man without God. He changed his tune. He changed his phrase. He realized that what he had in Christ was far better. What he was having in life and in eternity was far outweighed all the seeming profit that the ungodly had in this life. Beloved, I'd rather sit on a mountain with God with all of its troubles than in the valley with no difficulty. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And beloved, so often the trial, the devil will use the trial to keep our eyes on Christ. But the way to overcome that trial and to shine even better for Jesus is to look to the Lord. Is to look unto Jehovah. Is to look to the God in heaven, fixed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed. Find Him as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Our brother mentioned the prayer meeting in his announcements. Let me ask you a simple question. Has some trial driven you from the place of prayer? Has some difficulty in your life made you go backward instead of forward in your relationship with Christ? Oh, you have the excuses. You have all the reasons why you don't and haven't and probably won't go to the place of prayer. But beloved, none of them are valid. For God says that we all ought always to pray and not to faint. There is no excuse in the Word of God for going back. There's no passage in the Bible that justifies the believer walking away from God. Rather, we're exhorted to keep on looking unto Him. Because when we look full in His wonderful face, then the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We're not only to look on the Lord, we are to lean on the Lord. Notice what it says again in verse 10 at the latter half, and stay upon His God. That word stay reminds us of the staff in Psalm 23, where it tells us there, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures right to the end. And we're encouraged there that the shepherd of the sheep, He is with us. Now, you know most of you anyhow know I'm only an old townie from the Shankill. The only sheep we had up there was black sheep, and I never saw a shepherd among them. But I tell you something, a good shepherd cares for the sheep. And often as a shepherd is going through the fields or through the valley, he may have with him that staff. Oh yes, it's for protection. Oh yes, it's there to round up even on occasions the sheep, directing them which way to go, but often it's there to lean on. Because, beloved, even the shepherd gets weary. Even on many occasions, the shepherd looking after the sheep, he can feel a weariness, he can feel a tiredness, and the staff was there to lean on. I wonder today, with the words of the hymn, are we leaning on Jesus? I wonder today, with the words of Scripture, do you and I know what it is to cast our burden upon the Lord and leave it there? Why? Because leaning on Jesus, He will safely carry us through. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Tell me, beloved, are you leaning on Jesus? The hymn writer says, when there is no answer to the question, God is there. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. If you don't lean on that strength, you're sure to fall. If you don't rest upon the Lord in all situations and in any situation left to your own devices, beloved, you will let Him down. You will fail Him. Even like Peter, you will fail Him with cursing and oaths. But leaning on Jesus, you'll be able to say like Job, yea, even though He slay me, still will I trust Him. Remember the story of the great walker of the tightrope, how that he called the reporters to Niagara Falls. He said to them as they all came to watch him, he put the rope or the line across from one end to the other. He said to the reporters below, do you believe I can walk this tightrope? Of course you can, you're the best that there is. And he got up and he walked across it from one end to the other. And then he said, do you believe that I could walk across this tightrope, walking with a wheelbarrow in front of me? Of course you can. You're the best there ever is. He walked across and back again. And then he came and he said to the reporters, do you believe that I could walk across this tightrope with a wheelbarrow with a man in it? Of course you can. Come on in. Not one of them would get in. They didn't trust Him enough. Sometimes the believer has enough faith to take him to the edge, but not over the edge. Enough belief in God for when things are going good and things are going well, but in the darkness, beloved, in the time of troubles, can you say, I still trust in God? Beloved, the God that can keep you in the daytime, He can keep you in the dark. The Lord that can keep you when things are going well, He's undertaken for you when things are going difficultly. Darkness can bring out the best. Thirdly and finally, darkness reveals things that we don't see in the light. If you look at verse 3 and 4 of this passage, it says, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Here, beloved, is the thought in this passage that even in the darkness, not only does it bring out the best in us, but we can see the best in God. I had some people visiting last Sunday to the church who come up at least once a year and annoy me, and then I take them to my home for tea. Maybe if I didn't encourage them, they wouldn't come back, you know. I joke. But we're coming out of the manse fairly late on, and the man looked up into the heavens and he saw this star. He said, brother, I would never leave this place. Look at the sight that you have here. Oh, we can see the stars, beloved, in the darkness. But do you know that the stars are there in the daytime? So often we used to say, my teeth is like the stars that come out at night. Is yours the same? We're not talking about that. But, beloved, the stars are always there. Morning and evening, they're placed in the heavens. But to see the beauty, to see the best of them, we can only recognize, we can only note them, we can only see them in the darkness. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 45, beloved. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5. It says, I am the Lord, And there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Here Isaiah is telling us in chapter 50 that in the darkness there are things revealed that we don't see in the daytime. Think of that with me for a moment. Even looking at the text, it says very clearly, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that beholdeth the voice of a servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." What does the darkness reveal to us that we don't see in the daytime? Surely there's a thought of his person. Isaiah says very clearly there, let him trust in the name of the Lord. He's directing us to a person. He's directing us to God himself. What did Isaiah say there in 45 and 5? He said very clearly, there is no God beside me. In verse 6, I am the Lord. There is none else. I said a moment or two ago, man's extremity is God's opportunity. Beloved, in our extremity, that's when we really see God. When everything else and everyone else has let us down and failed, and there's no one there beside us, what do? We cry, we look, we rest upon God, and we see Him as He is. The omnipotent, the all-powerful, the unchanging God in heaven. Have you seen God as this? Oh yes, brother, I've seen Him. Oh yes, in my time of darkness, when everyone else has let me die, I've noticed, I've experienced, I've had the mercy of God. And you saw Him in the darkness. And you've seen the person. Notice also you see the power of God. In verses 3 and 4, he's telling us about the God of creation there. He says very clearly, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth the covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. And he goes on, to him that is weary, he wakeneth morning by morning. Yea, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the Lord went. When we see the creative God in heaven in all of His majesty, in all of His power. What does the psalmist say? Isn't it Psalm 19? The heavens declare the glory of God. Oh, you know, beloved, how many of us drive about the land of Ulster and it's all of its beauty. And we don't see the creative work of God. You know, living in the city, I never really have appreciated the country much. I have to say that to my shame. But my wife, she came from the city, and it's not the first time we're driving. In fact, even coming over here, she said, look at that scenery. That's all right. You know, sometimes if we've got but stopped, creation is all around us. And beloved, it didn't happen by a big bang. It didn't happen out of an explosion because certain gases of the earth were filling up and suddenly there was boom. No, beloved, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And whenever you and I look all around us at nature itself, what do we see? What should we see? We should see the power of God. The Apostle Paul, speaking of another term, of course, when he was speaking about the resurrection, he says, oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Beloved, let us even with license today say, oh, that I might know God and the power of His creation. When I look at this earth, and the cosmos around it, I see the power of God. And looking and learning and resting on that power, I know that He cannot fail and that He does not fail even to carry us through the darkness. Some trust in horses, some in chariots, but I will remember the name of the Lord, His person, His power. Think thirdly, beloved, of His promise. Even in verse 4 there, it says, morning by morning. Doesn't the Bible tell us that we'll have our seasons? Doesn't the Word of God promise us right from Genesis to Revelation that He will be with us? He'll be with us to the very end. I remember many years ago preaching in your prayer meeting. It's not long ago Barry used to have gray hair, but now he's darkened it again. Beloved, I remember preaching on the fear nots in the Bible. Do you know how many there is? There's 365 of them, one for every day of the year. In fact, there's 366. You can have the leap year as well. God has a promise for every situation. In time of trouble, in time of darkness, in time of catastrophe, God has a promise in His book. But listen even further. The Bible teaches me that the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Are you standing on the promises? Are you resting upon the Word of the eternal God? Why? Because out of the darkness He bringeth the dawn. And in the darkness we see Him there. Let me show you a few texts of Scripture. Go to the book of Psalms, please. First of all, let's go to Psalm 112. Mr. McCray only booked me for the morning because he knew I'd preach the tea time anyhow. So our brother will have he'll do the closing word tonight. Psalm 112, and look at what it says there in verse 4. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Isn't that a promise? Isn't that God saying to you and I that in all of those periods when we don't see the light and don't know how we're going to get through, that at the end of the tunnel He is there. He's got His promise. He's got His deliverance. Look at Psalm 30 and verse 5. The Bible says this, "For His anger endureth but for a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." When you've been through the trial, beloved, it seems endless, doesn't it? It seems to go on perpetually. We can't see the end of that trial. We can't see the trouble going away. The Bible just says it endureth but for a night. Then for the righteous, then for the child of God, there cometh the morning. I heard the story of a man who had painted a beautiful picture. He wanted the opinion of one of his friends to come and tell him what he thought of that portrait, that picture that he did. And so he made an arrangement for the friend to come. The friend turned up at the studio at the door, and he opened the door, and immediately he took him into a little room in complete darkness. And he said, "Will you sit there? I'll be back shortly." 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes passed. The friend didn't come back for him. He sat there and said, "What's going on here? He asked me to see a picture, and I'm here. I can't even see the end of a finger." After half an hour, he opened the door and said, "Now come." And he took him in to show him the portrait or the thing that he painted. The friend looked at him and he says, "It's beautiful." He says, "It's absolutely gorgeous. I've never seen you do a better work than this." He says, "But why? Why did you have me wait so long in that dark room?" He said, "I wanted the glare of the day taken away. If you had come in there straight off the street in the glare of the day, you would not have seen its beauty." And beloved, sometimes it's the things of this world that take from you and I the beautifulness of the God of heaven. We don't see Him in all of His wonder. Look beyond the night of sorrow. There shall come a blessed day. There shall be a glad tomorrow when the night has passed away. May God help you and I to look to Him and to lean on Him, even in the darkest hour. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy precious truth today. We pray that Thou would take that which has been of God, and that Thou would use it for the honor and for the glory of Thy precious name. Help the believer, even in the time of darkness, to see the light of the world, even Christ Himself. Help us in those trials and in those darkness, periods of darkness, to look to Christ, to lean on Christ, that in us the glory of Jesus might be seen. May those who are backslidden this morning realize in the darkness of their backsliddenness there's only one that can give them the joy of salvation again and afresh, and it's Christ Himself. And those in the darkness of sin without Thee, may they look on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who alone is able and mighty to save. Now may the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with us all, both now and forevermore, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.